Do you miss the free and affordable ads and social networks without all of the anti-sex rhetoric?
Assembly 4 is a team of sex workers and technologists from Melbourne, Australia, aiming to bring back free and fair advertising and social spaces to the sex working community.
Stepping away from the clunky design of traditional platforms, their two products, Tryst.link and Swidder.at, are refreshing and well-needed changes in both presentation and mission.
And both are free to join and open to all.
You can find both of our profiles on Tryst, and I love how it is so clearly designed by sex workers.
Yep, and I love how straightforward and easy it is to use and how much they clearly support the sex working community.
And also how responsive they are when it comes to feedback and customer service.
Check out their website, assembly4.com, for the word, not the number, for more info.
Welcome to Somebody You Love, or The Sale of Two Titties. I'm Jenna Love.
And I'm Holly Hart.
And we're experts in disappointing our parents, breaching community guidelines, and banging the people who vote against our rights.
As always, we'd like to begin the show by acknowledging the lands on which we are recording. Today I am on Ngunnawal land, as always, and Jenna is recording on Darug and Gundungurra land.
Experiences of working in the sex industry vary incredibly wildly. And Holly and I are only able to speak from our own experience, of course. Please make sure that you don't take what we say as being representative of every experience in the sex industry. And definitely keep in mind that we both have quite a lot of privileges and thus potentially less exposed to some of the more negative experiences that can come with working in the sex industry. Not that we haven't had our fair share, but it's just worth keeping in mind when we talk about what it's like for us.
We're going to surprise you this week by letting you know that we have adult themes in this episode. We will be talking about sex. I know it's a shock to you, but just a reminder that there are some raunchy topics in this episode.
If you're sick of hearing ads in the show, then you might want to consider subscribing to our Patreon, which starts at $3 a month. And for that, you get all of our episodes ad-free and 24 hours early. For $6 a month, you also get all of our bloopers and behind-the-scenes footage. We capture video whenever it's just Holly and I recording, and we like to share all of the other crap that we talk about that doesn't make it into the episode with our patrons. And there's usually a fair bit of swearing and messing up and lots of animals featuring. So if you just can't get enough of the pod, then we would love it if you headed to patreon.com/somebodyyoupod. We have a small trigger warning for you on this episode. We do chat a bit about age play, about consensual non-consent, and boundary pushing.
You might have noticed that this week is a part two of an episode we had a couple of weeks ago, Somebody You Love Is Paid to Have Sex. It was very well received. People were quite interested in the stories that we had to share, and we thought we'd follow on. We didn't manage to pack everything into that episode. We still had a few things we wanted to have a chat about. So we're back again to give you a little bit more on that topic, and probably there'll be many more parts of this because that is a main component of our job, surprisingly.
Yeah. And we keep finding things to say about it.
A few weeks ago, we discussed how in our job, sometimes people will request things that we may not necessarily love, but we consent and we will do it as part of our job, and that's fine. Today, we're going to have a quick chat about when people request things that we say we're not really into, we're not that keen on, and they sort of continue to push for it. So it's not as simple sometimes as yes or no. Sometimes you'll have a little bit of a chat with a client, and particularly if there's someone you've seen before, they might mention something that they've had in mind. As I said, sometimes you'll say, fuck yes, let's do that. And sometimes you'll say, fuck no. But there is a pretty wide grey area in between where you sort of feel like, well, look, I don't really, you know, you might, for lack of a better word, take some convincing. And that's not really what anyone expects you to do. We don't want to be convinced. But, you know, this healthy discourse around sex involves talking about the dynamics involved and what the expectations are, and that can be part of it. There have been circumstances where clients have asked me to do something and I've said, look, I'm going to be really clear with you. I don't do that. I'm not into it. I'm not an expert on it. I'll give you all of the qualifiers to know that I'm not an expert, and you can't expect me to be providing a service of a high standard if I don't feel confident in that. But I may agree to try it. I'll say, okay, definitely set the bar low. Be aware that I'm probably going to make a mess of whatever it is we're doing, but like, we'll try. We'll if that's what you're certain you want to try, I'll do my best. The thing is, obviously in our job, we're always going to do our best and we always try to make it a good experience for us both. But you really can't expect us to create something out of nothing when we really either aren't that into it or don't know what we're doing. A few months ago, a client of mine requested Tantra. I couldn't tell you the first thing about Tantra. It's nothing that I've ever had experience with. And I know there are quite a few providers who are specialists at it. They have done Tantra training, they have researched it, they've got a lot of experience experimenting with it, and they advertise that that is their niche. I don't think I've written Tantra anywhere on any of my advertising. I've never, ever committed to that because, I don't know anything about it. I suggested to the client that he would be better off seeing one of these specialists. I think I even picked a couple of workers who had listed Tantra, and I said I would give these people a call or, you know, a message and see if they're happy to facilitate that. But I don't think you're going to get what you're looking for with me in regards to Tantra. He insisted. Eventually I said, well, you know, I guess that's your risk. Okay, fine, let's do it. And it was a disaster. It was not a thing that worked out for us. I think part of it was that neither of us knew what we were doing. I think Tantra is an incredibly intimate thing, and it's very awkward to do it with somebody if it's not sincere. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not sincere in the work that I do. But I think like a lot of Tantra stuff, there is a really deep emotional mental connection. And if I'm not feeling that with you and I have to then stare into your eyes for 10 minutes straight, it's really, really uncomfortable. And that's the truth of it.
I think unless somebody in the situation is a professional, like unless it either has to be there's a professional who's guiding the session,
yes,
or the two people involved do really connect with one another and both are invested in the same way, which you're not really going to. I mean, look, I don't know. There might be people who have no experience who just love it first off.
Yeah. There are certain individuals I think it may go really well for me with. You know, it's just in this scenario, it wasn't happening. And that's could be for a multitude of reasons.
And you had made it clear up front that you didn't think.
I didn't think
that it was going
to go well. Exactly. Yeah. No, I was pretty sure that I wasn't on board, but I ended up going along with it. And, you know, I made that very clear that I wasn't confident in my abilities in that regard. Just in general, the session sort of lacked sincerity, I suppose, is the way to put it. It all felt very forced and stilted and awkward. And I know the client felt that, and I know that I felt that. And we both communicated that afterwards we thought it was a mess. And that's what happens, I guess, when you expect someone to do something or to try something that they've expressed that they don't think they're going to be good at. It's not that it's not going to work. It's not that you shouldn't try things. But if someone makes it pretty clear that they don't think it's going to go well, it may not go well. You can't be surprised, I think.
Yeah, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. Like, we all try things and then sometimes it's just not how you thought it was going to be, and that's totally fair. And sometimes you need to try it in order to know. But it's just that thing of kind of not necessarily pushing someone into something, but when somebody has asserted that they're not really comfortable with something or they don't think they'd be any good at it, or like it's that concept of enthusiastic consent, isn't it? Mm. When somebody hasn't enthusiastically consented to it, you kind of can't expect them to then be really enthusiastic. Like, I've had plenty of experiences with clients who have gone, "Oh, can we do this?" And I've gone, "Oh, it's not really for me." And they're like, "Please." And then I'm like, "Okay, but I'm not going to pretend to enjoy it."
Mm.
And then they get annoyed. And you can tell that they're like, "Aren't you enjoying this?" And I'm like, "Well, I didn't. I made it pretty clear that I wasn't going to."
Yeah.
So you can do it if that's what you want to do.
Mm.
But I'm not going to stroke your ego. I'm just going to lay here and let it happen because that's what I've agreed to.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not interested because I'm being modest. I'm not saying, oh, I'm not very good at that because I'm playing coy, because I want you to beg for it. I'm going to be really honest with you about what I like and what I don't like, or what, you know, is fine. I'm not a very good liar in general. And I think in sex, it is important to be honest with your boundaries. And so if I don't think I'm going to do very well, I'm going to be honest. But if you insist, maybe I'll try it. And it might not work. I guess the point of this little spiel is that as part of our job, sometimes we will agree to do things that we aren't that keen on. And if we make it clear to you, even though you have the fantasy of Jenna is going to be the one that I explore this with and it's going to be great, if Jenna or Holly says to you, I think you should maybe see someone else, that's probably not the worst advice to take.
This sort of ties in to me with a lot of the sort of what I would say are the darker, murkier sides that I've been able to see since being in the sex industry, which is that there seems to be a fair few people out there who are actually completely comfortable being engaged in activities, whether sexual or not, with another human being when the other human being doesn't really want to be there. And I find that quite disturbing. There is this phenomenon, and I think we could probably go into this in another episode, but I imagine a lot of sex workers have experienced it where you have, we might cut off a client and say we're not comfortable seeing them anymore, or we may refuse service to a client. And that client will go and get a new phone number, a new email address, and contact us pretending to be somebody else and book in to see us. Mm-hmm. And then they show up expecting that then we will want to have sex with them.
It's crazy.
And that is... that is so disturbing to me. Mm. What disturbs me about that is, why do they want to be intimate with somebody who has made it very clear that they want nothing to do with them? That is so disturbing. What the fuck is that? And that, like, that's the most extreme example of it, but it makes me think about, like, people who haggle and people who push for things that we don't offer, which is, that's quite a common one, the boundary pushing. And sometimes it's only little things, but they push and push and push. And why do you want that? What is wrong with your brain that you want to convince someone to do something? That is just, I just can't think of anything. I don't know. And that's something that, you know, I wouldn't say it's super common, but it does happen. And I find that I sit in my room and think about that, and it disturbs me.
Once again, I consented to the things that haven't gone well in those sorts of situations. But you definitely can't blame me if you think it was shit. If I've said to you, I don't think I'm going to be very good at this. And if you insist is the basic response I give you to going ahead with it, well, I'm sorry, but if it's garbage, that's on you, pal.
Yeah. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm loving it if I've told you that I probably won't.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a little bit dark there. Soz about it.
Same.
Not that we're afraid of dark topics, but it's just not quite what we were going for today. So let's talk about what are some of the little things that you find clients do or that come up in bookings that you really don't like?
I'm slightly hesitant to answer this question because it's one of those really nuanced things, but generally I really don't like fingering. Now, I have to say that with a massive caveat that sometimes clients can make me squirt by fingering me, and I invite that and we work on it, and it's a sort of process that we can experiment with. And that's when I trust them, and I trust them with my body and to be careful and use finesse in the way that they do it. But a lot of the time as a sex worker that I've experienced fingering, it has been clumsy, pointy, jabby motions. It's like if somebody...
Scratchy,
yeah. Particularly when people haven't looked after their nails well. It's like somebody grabbing a fork and jabbing it around in your mouth. Like, it just feels pokey and unpleasant. There's nothing sensual about being jabbed in the genitals. Bottom line, you might think, oh, this is the thrusting that's the right pace or the whatever you think it is. But sometimes it just feels like you're hurting me. And I'm really forward about that. I will say to my clients very quickly, slower or less, or I'm super communicative. So if you're listening and you fingered me and I haven't told you to stop, you're okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm very clear. I'm happy to give direction in that regard. And I think there's lots to learn. And if you have fingered me and made me squirt everywhere, then oh, I love you. But but generally, it's something that I'm not a huge fan of. And I think it's another one of those things where everyone thinks they're good at it. And I'm not simple. But then I have slept with women who like being fingered in such a different way to me. So it's not a really straightforward task either. Like, I am someone who responds often best to one finger. Two fingers can be too much for me. Whereas a lot of the women I sleep with are like, can you put three or four? Like, get in there. No.
I hate one finger. One finger is so pokey. I'm like, ow. Yeah. It's really stabby. I'm a two girl. Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it's like anything with sex, there is so much variety as to what makes people happy. But generally, yeah, more often than not, I don't enjoy fingering. I also really hate, because rimming is so big these days, it's so trendy, and I love my butt being licked. Like, oof, fuck yeah. But one thing I hate is these guys trying to do this like porno move where they grab your butt cheeks and they spread them right apart. They think, like, I'm getting right in there and look at that butthole and pornographic style. I get that you want to have a good look at everything. That's fine. But, like, it feels like you're ripping my skin open. You don't need to drag my ass cheeks to each side of the bedroom to get in there. Like, that's, please, please.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sometimes I've even felt the skin like near my tailbone feels like it's been ripped. Like it feels, it's not, but it's stretched. I don't know. It's horrible.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. They do it with like your pussy as well. Like they just push it so much. And it's like if you did that on your arm, like you're pulling skin apart and that skin is normally kind of close together, like around your butt crack. I know exactly what you mean around the tailbone. Mm. I feel like it probably is getting little micro tears. Like it stings. It's like, ouch, what the fuck? Like, I don't get what happens to some people when it comes to sex, that they just forget that it's a body. Like, you know what, that's what I'm like, you know what that feels like. You know that skin is sensitive and that tearing skin is painful. Surely you know that. You've been injured in your life, surely. So something I really don't like is, I guess, multiple things at once. Like, I just prefer to focus on one thing at a time. Something that really shits me is when people want to try and stimulate my clitoris while they're having sex with me, either in my vagina or my butt. And I think, like, it's a real, you see that a lot in porn. I think it's also because so many people believe that, you know, women don't come from being penetrated, and some don't. That's true. First of all, I do. And second of all, I just don't like the whole scent. Like, it's just too much. And especially because so many guys are so rough with the clitoris. And just like, yeah, having a dick in me and pawing at my clitoris is just so unpleasant for me. I just really hate it.
Is it that you find that they're just too rough with the clit while they're focused on fucking you? Or is it just too much stimulation from every angle?
I'd definitely say that's a part of it, because they're not focusing just on that, and that, like, there's sex happening. So there's all this big, these large scale movements going on. So then they tend to be really kind of rough with the clitoris. And often it's like that porno thing where they're really like flicking it, you know? I'm doing hand gestures again, which our listeners can't see.
So it's sort of like the 69 phenomenon, where it's like, focus on one thing and do it well, rather than let's do 12 things at once.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find it particularly with anal. Like, I really enjoy anal sex. I love anal orgasms. We're going to talk about those later. I'm like, what are you doing other shit for? Like, stop it. Just let me enjoy this. It's just too much for me. And I know that some people really, really love that. And that's the whole thing with sex. But that's what it's about, communicating. And, you know, I have had some people say, oh, do you want me to play with your clit? And I've been like, oh, no, just like this is great. And that's awesome. That being said, I have had experiences. I'm thinking about a personal partner, actually, that I have done that sort of thing with, and it's been really, really great. Like, there are some things that it's like you with the fingering, I guess. Like,
there's always an exception to the rule.
Yeah, there's always an exception, and there are times when I might enjoy it. But for the most part, just focus on one thing with me.
In terms of the little things that we do like, Jenna, what do you have to say on that?
One thing that just makes me melt is something that the first person to do it with me was my husband. And since then, obviously, you know, I have sex with a lot of people, is when it's a man that I'm with, when he like kind of gives me a shoulder massage while I'm going down on him. It's so random and specific, but oh my God, I just love it so much. It's like, first of all, you acknowledge that this is a workout for my shoulder neck area. And it just feels really intimate and really loving. And I think something I really like about sex is when it's that fine line between being intimate and caring and gentle and hard and passionate. Like, I really love going back and forth between that balance. I don't think that giving somebody oral sex is inherently a submissive act, but, you know, especially if I'm sort of down on my knees, I'm in a stereotypically kind of more submissive position and I'm taking a penis in my mouth. We should have done a disclaimer for my mom again. This is not an episode for her.
Oh, there's a lot of these episodes that are a bit risky, aren't
they? Yeah, that's true. Anyway, then to have that person who is arguably in the more dominant position sort of caressing me and saying, it's sort of like, I appreciate you. I know that this is physical work for you and I'm supporting you in this and I'm part of this effort. We're doing it together, you know? There's something I just really love about it.
That is very cute. I don't think I've gotten the shoulder massage when giving head. I don't know if I'd like it, but I like, you know, maybe when they like gently touch my hair then, or they're like, you know, they hold my hand. Sometimes I reach up and I'll like,
yes,
that's a bit cute. But also I give a fuck as well if they just lean back and enjoy it because, you know, it's art.
Oh, same. I mean, that's also good.
My dick sucking is art and you should just enjoy it. So that's cool too. Some of the little things that I like is men moaning. That's a massive one for me. A lot of men, God, I think, have been told or have had some societal view ingrained that men moaning is just, it's not a masculine thing or it's just not a thing that you do during sex. So when a man moans and gives me that verbal feedback during sex, that is really arousing. It's really exciting to feel this primal release of sound indicating pleasure that is so hot, and particularly if they moan when they come, that pressure release. And to witness somebody having such pleasure is really thrilling and really exciting. It's hard to articulate that. I know a lot of my clients know that I am very loud. I'm sure that my neighbors all have heard me coming at one time or another. And I know a lot of my clients find that really hot. I have had some clients who've actually said, can you not? Which was really weird. I said, I literally can't not. This is a sound that comes out of me because I feel I don't even.
Yeah, stop touching me then.
All right. One guy said, stop being so dramatic. And I was like, I was like, you have to stop touching me. This is just the noise I make, you jerk.
Oh my God. I've had a couple of people say, oh, I don't need all that porn stuff.
I think they thought I was being performative.
And I'm like, oh, honey, I'm not doing this for you. Yeah. That's fine, but you're going to need to stop touching me.
Yes.
Like, making me feel so nice. Fuck.
Half of the time, I can't even control what's coming out of my mouth. I will be in the throes of pleasure, and I'll realize that I've just said a bunch of random swear words and other nonsense. And I'm not keeping track of it because I'm not consciously saying these words. It's just exclamations coming out in pleasure.
Yeah.
So
you're enjoying yourself.
Exactly. And just the same as my clients generally seem to enjoy me showing pleasure, I really like to see them show pleasure.
There are a lot of people in the world who don't show pleasure when they're in bed with you. I've had like quite a few clients, mostly men, but I have had one or two women who just show absolutely no sign. They give no indication of whether they're enjoying themselves or not. There's no moaning. There's no, I mean, I've had clients who have had an orgasm and I haven't known.
Oh, me too.
Like they've just stopped. And and then I'm like, oh, okay. And then if it's a guy, then often there's visual evidence, so that's helpful. And then they leave and I'm like, oh my God, was that okay? It seemed like the last hour was really boring for them. And then they'll come back. They'll book again and again and again. And I'm like, okay, I guess they must be having somewhat of a nice time. And it's so, and I feel awful, but I kind of dread those sessions with those people because I'm getting no feedback. And I understand there's, you know, there's a lot of people have a lot of shame around sex and all of this stuff, but I'm like, I feel like I'm giving so much and you're just giving me nothing. And it, yeah.
The self-doubt is crippling, is it?
The self-doubt is crippling. I'm there like riding them, working my ass off, and they're just looking at me like they're not even like, oh, it's so uncomfortable. And yes, people moaning, oh, so sexy. Like there's nothing hotter than that. Like, you know, there's those people who are really good at receiving oral.
Yeah.
Like you're going down on them.
Yeah.
And they are just like giving you yes. so much to work. Like it fires you up.
Right? I can keep going yeah. forever.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. But if they're just silent and that, I mean, that's okay. If that's what they want to do, that's cool. But I'm certainly not going to enjoy it that much.
I have this Pokemon meme on my phone, which is very on brand for me. And it says, when your jaw is getting tired, but he starts moaning and then the Pokemon's like, attack is the song has restored my strength. And that's exactly what it's like. Yes. You feel like, okay, I'm getting, my jaw's getting tired. I might have to stop for a yep. little bit soon. And then you're like, oh wow. Okay. They're getting really into it. I'm back in the game.
Fuck yeah.
So I love that meme. I've always got it.
That's great.
I also really like my hair being played with, which I mentioned before in the context of when I'm giving head. I don't necessarily mean while I'm giving head, you have to be doing plaits in my hair. I mean, sometimes a client will reach down and just gently pull it out of the way for me and gently hold it. But in an intimate way, not particularly during sex, but maybe while we're just cuddling and lying there, if a client runs their fingers through my hair or strokes my hair or something like that, I'm just in heaven. It feels so pleasurable. And it's another one of those things. It's not particularly part of the penetrative fucking part of sex, but the build up and the intimacy, that's really nice. Gets me in the mood.
That just gave me butterflies about going back to work because I get to go back to work in a few weeks. And I just got really excited about people, yeah.
Potentially just, playing with your hair.
Yeah, and just having nice physical experiences with people. I'm really excited.
We have also mentioned before, but a little thing during sex that we both are into is our feet being touched. I know that while Jenna is being fucked, she does like her feet caressed. I didn't have someone do that to me until, in fact, I think last time that we had sex, Jenna, I sucked your toes while you were being. Anyway, that's is that too much information? So
no. I just got excited.
So I think the first time I experienced someone touching my feet while they were actually fucking me was only less than a year ago. And we were in the middle of sex and he started like grabbing my feet and like tickling them and touching them. And I was like, oh my God, why have I never known about this before? But it's also a massive reason of why I love doing foot fetish bookings is because wrapping my feet around a cock, having someone kiss my feet, caress them, lick them, touch them, whatever. I don't fucking care. Just give me foot action.
And hand action too. I love hands. Like just sure. holding hands yeah. or touching hands. Like, I don't know. Feet and hands I just think are super cool. So, Holly, do you have any like fetishes that you kind of would like to explore one day?
There are a few that are on my bucket list. And I want to say this with a quick disclaimer. Saying things like this sometimes can be concerning because I don't want people that are not into them to come to me and go, well, we can try that if you like. If that's not what your kink is, then I feel silly. Then we're doing something that you don't really like. And it's just, no.
It's like the tantra again.
It is. It is.
No one really knows what they're doing and it's right. just a bit pointless.
When I try one of these sort of really kink, these fetish-based things, I want to do them with somebody that is their kink, their really specific thing, and they've probably done it before, not necessarily, but this is what they've dreamed of for ages. That's what's exciting about doing kink things. For me. So the first one I'd really like to do is a Luna. You were the one who introduced me to Lunas, Jenna. Would you like to explain that for us?
Yeah, I have a Luna client. Loon as in balloon. There are tend to be two broad categories of Lunas. There are poppers and non-poppers. So poppers are people who get off on the balloon bursting, and non-poppers are the ones that do not like that. My Luna client, who's a regular client of mine, who's really lovely, is a non-popper, which I appreciate because balloon popping. And we, and this is a great example of that, where he is a Lunar, I'm not. And we spend multiple hours together. We spend a lot of our time blowing up the balloons. He orders all these crazy, fantastical balloons from overseas, like different shapes and sizes and adult balloons that are designed for sex. And we bounce on them. We insert them. We just do all sorts of things with these balloons. And that is something that, like, I would never do that on my own. Like, my husband and I are not going to blow up a bunch of balloons and do that because we would both be like, what are we doing? This is what's happening? Yeah. Like, it's not either of our kinks. But because it is my client's kink, it's so much fun because he's having a great time. I'm like, woo! Like, it's a very wholesome kink.
It sounds like
it's
so fun.
It's really lovely.
It's so unique. I really like that. I'm not trying to poach Luna. I hope there's other Lunas out there. Maybe any Canberra Lunas.
I think you guys would get on really well. I think he would like you.
I also would really like to try sploshing. That's been around for a long time, and I have a few friends who've done it, including yourself, Jenna, you just mentioned before.
I've done lots of it.
You have. Sploshing, for those who aren't aware, is usually defined as the act of covering yourself in food and sauces and chocolate and whatever. Sometimes sitting in it. People like to get cakes, and you sort of sit in some cake and things like that. There's a variety of different ways to execute it, but it's basically just getting really fucking messy, usually with food. Would that be correct, you think?
Yeah, food play.
Food I think play. That's, yeah, cool. Yeah.
And I've done it many, many times. Maybe because of the squirting, because people know I carry a rubber sheet around with me. Like, I'm just already equipped for it. I can't say I'm very into it, though.
Okay.
Again, if somebody else is really into it, I'm like, cool, great, yeah, loving this. But no matter what products you use, your hair will smell like custard for a week. Whether there is custard involved or not, I guarantee you, your hair will smell like custard, but you can't smell. So yeah, I guess that's not a problem for
you. Other people will just think. Ooh.
And it always turns brown. It's really fun at the beginning. And then you're sitting in a pool of brown liquid with lumps in it. Like, it never ends well.
I think I do.
But some people are into that.
I do more intense things than that.
Good on them.
I also really would like a latex kink person. It's not my kink, but I think it's a little bit exciting. The problem for me with latex is it tends to be very expensive. To get latex gear on your body, it's a whole process. You have to, like, powder yourself up and then put it on. Then you have to lube it to keep it all shiny. It's a whole ordeal. But one day, if someone came to me with a whole lot of latex bits and pieces, I don't know. I think that actually could be really arousing. But I think it's an expensive one.
Yeah, I don't mind doing latex play, but more often than not, they seem to want to do it in summer, just a problem. Yeah. And I find it very hot. I do find it a turn on. It's not a kink of mine, but I do find it quite sexy. The veil of sweat that covers your body when you take it off is just it's a special thing.
Mm.
So it's not an everyday kink for me, but I do enjoy it.
And no fetishes that you're interested in trying, Jenna, because you've done them all. Is that the
kind of yeah? I also think I'm just not very inventive. Like, people will suggest something to me and I'm like, all right, sure, let's do it. But I just don't really think of stuff myself. And yeah, I kind of have done most things. I feel like an old lady. I'm like, now I'm more looking for, like, intimacy and connection. But I kind of got all the exploring random shit out of my system in my 20s. I'm still happy to do it, but I just don't feel that urge for it.
It's very fair.
I get heaps of requests for role play, and I think that's something that we sort of talked about this a bit last time, which was about the thing where people suggest something because they think it's kinky and wild, but don't really know what they want. It's not uncommon for someone to contact me and say, can we do role play? And I go, yeah, I mean, that's an option. Like, I literally have a theater degree. I've had training in improv. Like, I can do this, right? And then I'll go, what kind of role play do you want to do? And they go, oh, I don't know, just whatever you like. And I'm like, well, it's not like, I don't know. You have to have a specific, like, what is it that is your fantasy? Role play is acting out a fantasy. So just doing role play, I mean, maybe for some people that works, but for me, I just don't really understand what that means.
My role play is you come over, give me a whole lot of money and then go home. Like, that's that's the role play I want.
Let's play those roles. Yeah. And I think because even though I have that theatre experience and stuff, and perhaps because of that, it's really important to me to be really fucking authentic and honest and to be myself in life when I'm not on the stage, you know? So for me, role play has to be a specific fantasy. Otherwise, I'm just going to be myself because I don't, like, I just don't, to me, there's no gray area there. It's kind of one or the other in my mind. So often they'll say, yeah, can we do role play? And then they don't have a specific one. One I had recently was he responded with teacher student. And I was like, okay, so which one am I? Like, you have to be more specific. And then he wanted me to be the teacher. And I was like, okay, so is it that you're my favorite student and we've got an illicit affair going on? Is it that you've been naughty and you need to be punished? Like, what? Like, there's so many different, you know, and it's sort of, yeah. And I think,
what are the parameters?
What are the parameters? I need to know the boundaries. And another thing that I've encountered is, and it kind of ties into that, I guess, is where they won't explain what the role play story is up front, but spring it on me in the middle of it. Like, I have a client who really loves doing role play, but he will never, ever tell me the details of it. And he'll just give me, like, the starting point, like the inciting incident, right? And again, like, I'm like, okay, I'm trained for this. I can handle this. Like, the scenario will be, oh, you've just got home from going to the gym, you know, and you're just really horny and you just want to get out your action. So you come in the door and you're like, oh, hi, hubby, I'm home, kind of thing. I'm like, cool, yeah, no worries. So I do that. And then I start, like, cracking onto him and he starts going, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm just a bit horny from being at the gym. And he's like, oh, why are you touching me? And I'm like, oh, because... sorry, it's just that I got, sorry, don't worry about it, you know. And then he's like, no. And I'm like, well, what? I don't, like, I'm not, I don't know. Like,
what do you
and so
want?
I guess he wants, what do you want? And I guess he wants some role play that's edging towards non-consensual or is a bit coercive, you know, and that's actually something that I'm not super comfortable with. That's something that's going to a whole other level and you really need to discuss that with somebody beforehand. And I also, and I just won't, I won't play into that game as well. And I'm very, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. No worries. Do you want to talk? Are you feeling, you know, are you feeling like you're not able to be sexual at the moment? Or, and I can tell that he's there going, no, come on, convince me to do, I want you to convince me. And I'm like, you, I wasn't giving this information. So I'm not, I am not somebody that is prepared, as we talked about earlier, I'm not prepared to convince somebody to have sex with me unless that has been very specifically told to me as a part of the role play. I'm not into that. I'm not messing around with consent unless that's what we've decided to do. So I just think if you're going to do role play, you got to fucking tell, you know, I've had other people want to do role play who have sent me basically scripts. And I know some workers absolutely hate that because they're like, what the fuck? I can do my job. You don't need to give me a script. Again, with the theater stuff, I'm like, fantastic. Cool. I can do a character study. I can do background and I can turn up and deliver the performance of a lifetime. Like, I'm ready for that. I love a script, but I know some don't like that either. That's kind of the other extreme, I guess. A big question is, like, are there role plays that are off limits? My rule is kind of, I kind of feel most things are not off limits so long as they are far enough away from reality. So I had a client years ago who loved the schoolgirl fantasy. And I, this is a really common one. Some people have an issue with it. Personally, I think a lot of the time, particularly for men, it's them reliving their high school days and they're thinking about the fun times they had then or the fun times they didn't get to have then but wish that they did. No worries, whatever, I'm happy to do that. So I saw this guy a few times and he always wanted the schoolgirl thing, no issues. And then I found out that he was a high school principal and I was like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, do I need to call the Department of Education? Like, it just, and I, you know, I don't want to kink shame, but it just made me so uncomfortable. And it makes me think about, like, if somebody wants to handcuff me and have their way with me or whatever, that kind of fantasy, sure, no worries. But if you're a police officer, ugh, like, it's too close. That's my rule. I think so long as it's far away. Another one that seems to be quite common, I've had quite a few guys say, oh, you remind me of this woman at work. Can you, like, pretend to be her and, like, have her name and stuff? And I don't, like, oh, I don't know. It just gets a bit murky for me. I'm like, that's, you know, there's no one's being hurt there. But if I found out that somebody was role-playing with a sex worker, pretending they were me, Like, oh, it's just all a bit, I don't know, it's just when it's too close to home, that's the limit for me.
I generally don't like role play at all because I feel really clumsy at it. I don't think I'm a bad actor at all, but I think I'm really awkward when we're trying to play out some weird sex fantasy that you have. Okay, weird is not fair, but often they're very ham-fisted ideas and very cliched, I guess is more what I'm trying to say. And it feels really awkward and I feel awkward doing it. Even if I'm comfortable with the subject matter, I feel clumsy trying to perform what I think you want. So I don't often do them. Some regulars have asked for specific things and we've given it a shot and that's been okay. I don't think I've been the best role play experience they could ever have, but that has been not stressful. When I worked in a brothel, I did a few role plays. I did one that was very sexy and exciting. I'm not going to tell you guys because I feel like I feel like people will then ask me to do it with them. And I don't think it was good because of what the role play was. I think it was just the individual that was doing the role play with me was very, he had a whole plan for how it went and he really drove the whole thing. And that was really pleasurable and he was very sensual and it was sexy
because he knew what he wanted.
He knew exactly what he wanted. He'd done it before. He knew how it would go, the role I had to play, and I just fell into the role and it was beautiful. It was art. I wish I had a DVD copy of it. Could watch it again and again. DVD? What year is it? But we did have one guy that used to come in, getting a little bit dark now. One gentleman who used to come in, who would ask us to be underage. That was a really controversial thing. There was a lot of discussion in the girls' room over whether it was ethical for us to do what we were doing. There were justifications of, well, maybe I know this is a bit dark for this episode, but it's that rhetoric that people say, well, at least they're not doing it to actual, you know. There are a lot of people out there that do age play and it's consensual and it's all understood the dynamic of it. But in this instance, a lot of these workers, we didn't have much education in the way of what age play involved and the dynamics around it. And just in general, we didn't feel wonderful doing it. I did it. I was one of the few workers who did consent. There was only a couple of us who would see him. He paid a substantial amount to do it, which was a big factor in us deciding to go ahead. I don't feel that any of us were traumatized by agreeing to it, but I remember feeling like every hour was a long hour. I really felt it was extremely mentally draining and quite unpleasant, and I don't think I would do it again. So, yeah. That, look, like I said, that is...
See, I mean, I think, like, as you said, age play is a specific thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who specialize in that. I don't think wandering off the street into a brothel is real. Like, it is absolutely one of the kinks that is more at an extreme end and that a lot of people are not going to be comfortable with. And I think you really need to be seeking out somebody who specializes or at least advertises that that's something that they're comfortable with.
I agree. It was pretty heavy duty in the way of things. And I, as I said, I'm not one to jump into doing role plays anyway, but I doubt that that would ever be a dynamic I would do again. Not for me.
COVID-19 has had a significant impact on the sex industry, and snap lockdowns and travel restrictions mean that there are times when sex workers require emergency financial relief in order for them and their dependents to stay safe, housed, and fed.
Sex workers don't get sick or holiday pay, and many have no savings to fall back on. The stigma and discrimination that we face means that some have no proof of earnings to access government support, and of course, migrant workers are often forgotten.
Scarlet Alliance and their state and territory member organisations joined together to create an ongoing fund that is hosted on the website CHUFFED, that's CHUFFED.
Donations are tax deductible, 100% of funds raised go directly to sex workers in need, and most weeks the amount of people applying outweigh the amount of funds raised, and sadly people have to be turned away. The link to this fund is in our show notes. Our misconception of the week is, you can't orgasm from anal. This is something I am not able to speak on at all, as I am an anal virgin. Ah, I'll see my little halo. But
waiting for marriage.
Yeah. Have we said that on the podcast? That, yeah, I'm waiting for some. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm waiting for someone to marry me before I go through the process of stretching my anus. So, Jenna, would you like to talk to us about your experiences with orgasming from anal sex?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it is a thing that I have done. So it certainly can happen. I think it's very important that we're all aware that orgasming just from anal penetration is probably on the rarer side. I wouldn't be expecting people to be able to do that. Certainly not. But the way I discovered it was in a brothel, actually, a few years ago. And I had this regular client. Actually, the girls at the brothel used to joke that he was my boyfriend because a few times he'd come back in the same day. So he obviously quite enjoyed my company. And I really enjoyed his too. And this is graphic, but he just had the right dick for anal. It was just the right dick for anal. It wasn't too big. It was very smooth. It just worked. And, you know, that's the thing with sex, like different bodies work well together. And his and my body, we just sexually, it just worked. And he had said to me, have you ever come from anal? And at that point, I hadn't had a huge amount of anal sex in my life. And I was like, no, what a fucking idiot. Obviously, yes. I'm not going to come from anal. Like, what? What do you think anatomy is, you know? And that day, and I get it has to be a psychological component to it because that was then in my mind. And he had me in the prone position where I was on my stomach. It's like doggy but flat. And this was in a massage parlor. So the bed that we were on was like a massage table. So it was quite firm and it had a covering that was like a towelette kind of fabric. So what I'm getting at is that there was some friction on my front. And so we were having sex and yeah, the front part of me was sort of rubbing against that towel fabric and I had an orgasm and I was like, oh, well, fuck. Okay. Which bloody would have given him the head, you know, the biggest bloody ego being like, she said she's never had one. And then she just did. And I thought to myself, it's probably because there was some stimulation going on at the front, right? I thought that's really more what it is. Plus, I really, like, we had great sex together. I just really, you know, I was having a really nice time and there was that stuff going on at the front. But then since then, after that point, I continued being able to orgasm from anal and I can't explain it. I can't tell you why that happens. Just like I can't explain squirting. Just like I can't explain the fact that if you touch my genitals for a good 30 seconds, I'm probably going to have an orgasm. I can't explain that. But the orgasms that I have from anal are so nice. They're so deep and warm and comforting. They're just lovely. And I really enjoy it. So I'm just here to tell you that it is a thing that can happen. It can happen in men and women and people who are neither men nor women and or both. It's definitely a thing, but I wouldn't go in expecting it. Holly has had some people say some shit to her, so it's over to her for shit people say.
These messages come from the depths of March 2020. I was going through every 6 months or so, I go through my work phone and clear out a whole lot of garbage. And these were just nestled in there, which means I saved them because they made me either angry or amused. So let's begin. The first message I received said it was received at 3 a.m.
That's always a good start.
That's a good start. And it said, free. And I said, manners. And they said, please send your address, thanks. And I said, nope. And they said, what do you mean? I said, in future, you're...
Doesn't understand, no. Also a really good, also yes. a good foot to start on. Definitely show somebody you want to have sex with that you don't know what no means. Definitely.
I said, in future, you need to begin your inquiry. Hi, Holly. I was wondering if you might be available for a booking. When? Blah, blah, blah. I gave him those sorts of instructions. He said, okay, dear. I said, good night. He said, sorry, this is morning, not night. I want to see you. I want to see you, dear. Fuck you. And now these were all individual messages. Sorry. Next message. This is morning. Next message. Not night. I want to see you, dear. Fuck you. So that was getting me hot and heavy straight off the bat.
I was correcting you on what time of day it was. You idiot hooker.
Oh, dumb. So he contacted me again in October. He said, hello. I said, what? He said, available. I said, learn some goddamn manners. He wrote back, no girlfriend, no manners, dear. I don't know how to talk. I don't know what that means.
Is he maybe saying I don't speak great English? Maybe?
No girlfriend, no manners, dear. I don't know.
Not that, that I don't know how to talk.
Sure. I could. But I maybe. Mean, either way, I mean, it's very clear that this person's second language, the English was their second language, and that's totally cool. Like
Third or fourth.
Or third, yeah, was, you know, some people out there have, you know, multilingual, that's fine. But yeah, the things of, yeah, correcting me that this is morning, not night, and then the fuck you, all these things didn't bode very well, followed up by no girlfriend, no manners, dear. I'm not sure what he was trying to say to me, but I didn't think I was going to jump up and squeeze some time in, squeeze him in for a booking. So
no,
that was the, that was the end of that, romance. The second person I heard from, was in September last year. He said, hi, it's X. Can you please call me back for a booking for an out call? Thanks heaps. And I said, hi, sorry, who is X? It sounded like he thought I knew him. Like it was very, the introduction felt like we'd spoken. He said, I've had a few calls and wanted to book a girl. It's X. I talk to you girls every day for hours. And I said, what? I have no idea who you are. And he said, all good, sorry. I said, what girls do you talk to every day for hours? Not me. He said, wrong girls. I would love to meet for an hour. We haven't met before, not properly anyway. What?
Oh, creepy.
I guess. Hi, I'm X. You can ask me anything. Cheers. I said, where do you talk to girls every day? Like, what do you think? He said, just other working ladies. And I said, okay, so we haven't talked before. He said, no, I don't think so, but I'd love to chat to get to know you. I'd love to book in.
Oh.
To get naked and watch me wank my cock and maybe fuck your leg. But condoms don't fit. So what do you think? I'd like to come over right now, please. And I said, well, no.
Oh, you need to book in advance. Wow. Hold on. There's a lot to unpack there.
It continues. Yeah.
Does one generally use a condom to fuck a leg?
Yeah, no.
I would have thought that it's fairly standard practice to fuck a leg condomless.
Yeah. I have quite a few clients who will have, you know, sort of, what do you call it, like leg humpy sort of hand jobs with no condom. That's how that works.
Yeah.
Okay. My leg's right. Not going to get pregnant, so, or an STI.
I wouldn't have thought so.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned. He said, okay, cool. There's lots of things I want to fuck in front of you. Okay. Lots of naughty secret things I'd like to ask you and tell you what I've done. I'll be happy if you came here. How much for 12 hours? And, you know, I mean, if I wasn't already assuming that he was full of shit, that was it. The conversation went on with a few more stupid messages and I obviously checked out. But I was fascinated on which ladies he always talks to that somehow he thought I'd be one of them. I was very curious.
Well, I assume he's having these bullshit conversations with a whole bunch of workers. Them.
Yeah, right. Well, sounds he never contacted like me. And the way that he just assumed I'd know who he was. Like, hey, it's X. So do we know each other? Oh, I guess not. Okay.
I mean, he probably is a known pest and he knows that he's a known pest.
Yeah. He's like, hi, it's that guy that says he wants to fuck a whole lot of things. Like, just checking in. Yeah. Yeah, haven't you heard of me, Holly? Okay. Yeah. It's my initiation.
Oh, God. Alrighty, question for the week is, do you see yourselves being sex workers into your 50s? Not trying to be ageist, just wondering if these thoughts go through your minds.
Oh, fuck yeah, these questions go through our minds. I don't think there is anyone who enters the sex industry who doesn't consider how long they'll do it for or what their quote-unquote expiry date is or have preconceived notions of how long you should last in the industry. What has become apparent to me during my time in the industry is there is no expiry date. That's not to say that there is not privilege with youth. I believe there is obviously going to be demand skewed towards younger workers. But I also think, and my understanding is, having spoken to a range of workers of different ages, that there is a market for everyone. The market may be a little bit smaller as you get older, but the industry changes and the people that maybe are seeking your services also come from different demographics. So I am incredibly passionate about what I want to do. I'm always the first person to tell everyone I want to be a granny hooker. I think that being an elderly lady who does sex work is going to be really fun. I might be wrong. Obviously, it's going to be all about my health and the physical limitations that I have at the time. But I really like the idea of doing this well into my older ages and seeing how far I can take it, because it's such a cliche that it's not just about the money. Of course, it's a significant amount of what I do is for an income, of course. But I think that exploring sexuality with a range of individuals is something that I want to do for the rest of my life, and particularly making it accessible for people who might not otherwise get to explore that is part of that. What's your thoughts, Jenna?
Yeah, I do see that. I don't necessarily plan for that. I'm not much of a like future person. Like, I'm very much just like, well, if what I'm doing now is enjoyable, I'll keep doing it until it isn't enjoyable or it isn't practical. You know, I said that when my husband and I got married, like, I don't think that we'll necessarily be together for the rest of our lives. Oh, I'd love that. That would be really nice. And if it keeps going the way that it is, then fucking awesome, because it's brilliant what we have. But I also am like, but in 10 years time, if I feel differently, then I feel differently. And I'm not going to cling on, you know, I just don't think it's super useful for my personality anyway, to cling on to a specific idea that I said that I wanted 10 years ago. So, you know, if in a few years time, I don't want to be a sex worker anymore, then I won't. But that being said, at the moment, I really love it. It's the best job I've ever worked. And it is definitely something that I've devoted a lot of my life to. You know, I spend a lot of my time not just working as a sex worker, but on sex work activism. And as a result, I think, yeah, I definitely can see myself doing that. I think that's quite a possibility.
I have a documentary, which we can probably link in the show notes. I think there's a copy of it on YouTube, which is about a group of sex workers in England who I think are in their 60s, 70s and 80s. And it's really fascinating watching their stories. So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. I don't think I've seen that.
We would like to thank our fantastic, amazing, kind, thoughtful and really intelligent patrons this week. Our new generous somebody this week is Martin. Our new very generous somebody is Ben.
I think you forgot to talk about how incredibly attractive our patrons are.
So
well,
sexy
Holly.
Too. Very sexy.
I think
sexy.
You left that off. Yeah. Our even more generous somebodies are Timmy, Andrew, Adam Smith, Leo, Lachlan, Sub London, Miss Billy, Nora Knightley, Leslie, Scott Watson, Andrew, Big M, our secret admirer, Mudgy, Margaret, Wheezy, John T, Celeste, and Ellen.
Our extremely generous somebodies are Aaron, Samuel, Andrew, Pete, Theodore Betts the First Esquire, Amanda Valentina, Sienna Saint, Breno, and Adam Moore.
Thank you so much for listening right to the end. If you're hearing this, you're a legend. Thank you.
Agree. You make me horny.
Please look out for us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Patreon. Our name everywhere is Somebody You Pod, as in podcast. Our Patreon starts at just $3 a month, and you can get all of our episodes ad-free and a day early, plus bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes action, bloopers, and more. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the voices of sex workers. And remember, somebody you love might just be a sex worker.